Hello and welcome. It is so good to be with you as we meet with our Lord. And our Lord has sure given us a beautiful day today. It is obviously fall. Yesterday and today were the first days of really cool temperatures in the mornings, and it felt so nice. And of course, it's warmed up enough now to sit out here in a short sleeve shirt. But the sky is that absolutely beautiful blue color. You have that freshness in the air. Certainly see the change of seasons, and it's just a joy to be together with our Lord. And the best part about it is the fact that we do get to be with our Lord, that He loves us. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. In fact, that's why He made us to begin with. That's really the whole point of salvation, is to bring us back into a relationship with God. And I hope that you're enjoying that relationship. I hope that you've come into it by salvation. And I hope that your day, whenever it is that you're watching this, that your day, your circumstances are as beautiful as the weather it is today. And if not, I pray even in the midst of it that you have God's strength, that you have His guidance. But again, I'm so thankful that God gives us this time to be together. I look forward to these times. I trust that you do as well, that they're a blessing for you. Once more, I always want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. I know I say that quite often, but again, you can see me, you don't see them, but what they do makes all of this come together and possible. We're thankful for that. But you know, more than anyone, we obviously want to thank our Lord, again, for being our Creator, being our Redeemer, for loving us, giving us this time, for wanting to speak to us. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. Lord, just the beauty of it, how it testifies, oh Lord, of your sovereign power, Lord, your rulership. Father, the fact that you control all things. Father, we're thankful most of all, oh God, for the spiritual blessings. Father, your love, your salvation. Father, the adoption as your children, the invitation to seek you. Lord, just the privilege, the blessing, the wonder, the goodness of knowing you. And Lord, I pray as we come here now, as we open your word, Father, please open our minds and our hearts. Lord, we want to hear from you. Lord, we want to understand the facts, the truths, the doctrine. But, oh God, through all that, we want to know you, be closer to you, to be able to trust you more, to be able to experience you more. Father, speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, it is so good to be together with our Lord. And it's not only good, but how needed these times are for us to meet with our Lord, both this time that we have together, but our own private devotion times and our times of worship in our churches. How we need to meet with our Lord as we live in this time where it's more obvious than ever that we live in a world that is driven by evil, wicked people, both those in office and the moneyed, powerful, influential people behind them. And we see a society and a nation breaking down. How we need God's guidance, how we need His strength, how we need His comfort. And many times we take a look around us. In fact, it's just looking at the news today. Obviously, the war situation in Israel, bad enough for Israel itself, the people there wondering what kind of spillover there may be. Will the conflict grow? Wondering, you know, what kind of economic, geopolitical ramifications there may be. Looking at crime in our streets, looking at corruption in the highest offices in our land. You know, how we need God. How we need His strength and His comfort. And we get an understanding how we can live in these times. When we look at this seventh psalm that God inspired David to write, and as we think about this seventh psalm, think about the superscription, that is that inspired writing above the body of the psalm. Now, you know, most study Bibles have something that the editors put there, and most of the time it's good. Mine has that, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the part that God inspired. You think about what the superscription of the seventh psalm is. A Shion of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning Cush, a Benjamite. Now, we don't know for certain who this is, but it's obvious when you read through the psalm, he's an evil individual, a wicked individual, devious and dangerous. And yet, we think about that, and we could probably think of many individuals that we may know personally, we may know about if we keep up with news events, that we may hear about secondhand, that quite frankly are almost a modern day version of Cush. We could probably name a dozen or more of them right off the top of our head if we had to. How do we deal with living in a world like that? Well, think about what David said in the 7th Psalm. He said, O Lord my God, in you I have taken refuge. Save me from those who pursue me and deliver me, or he will tear my soul like a lion, dragging me away while there's none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there's injustice in my hands, if I've rewarded evil to my friend, or have plundered him who without cause is my adversary, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it. Let him trample my life down to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift up yourself against the rage of my adversaries and arouse yourself for me. You have appointed judgment. Let the assembly of the peoples encompass you and over them return on high. The Lord judges the peoples. Vindicate me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and my integrity that is in me. O let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous. For the righteous God tries the hearts and minds. My shield is with God who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. He has also prepared for himself deadly weapons. He makes his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, he travails with wickedness. He conceives mischief and brings forth falsehood. He has dug a pit and hollowed it out. He's fallen to the hole which he has made. His mischief will return upon his own head, and his violence will descend upon his own pate. I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. You know, what can we learn about David from living in evil times that are obviously driven by evil, wicked people? Cushes, if you will. So, and again, we can probably all of us can think of many individuals that we could label a Cush. You know, like this individual, this evil, wicked person that this psalm is, it serves as the background of this psalm. What do we need to do? How can we live in these times? Well, first of all, we look at this psalm. First thing we need to see is that we need to take refuge in God. Again, you think about verse 1. O Lord my God, in you I have taken refuge. Save me from all those who pursue and deliver me. You know, in spite of the fact that David was a warrior, an experienced warrior from his youth, not only, you know, against lions, bears, Goliath, the enemies of Israel, numerous enemies, it was in God that David placed his safety, his security. God was his refuge. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in time of trouble. He is the place of safety and security, and he's the only place of safety and security. You think again in Psalm 146, verse 3, do not trust in princes, you know, people of power, influence, and position, prominence. Don't put your trust in them, in mortal man, what? In whom there is no salvation. David knew that his only place of safety and security was God. You know, there's been a benefit that's come out of these last few years within our nation. It's been there all along, but it's never has it been more obvious than it is now, that only God can protect us. We live in a society that's more and more openly in defiant rebellion against God. We have evil people in power. We have offices and agencies that have been hijacked, corrupted, and weaponized against people in righteousness. We have good people or once good people who have been horribly corrupted. We have a population that, quite frankly, is gullible and will follow along with anything. If you've ever read prophecy and you wonder, well, how on earth could people follow the Antichrist? You think of what we've seen in our nation in the past few months and years. And no, we don't know how close we are to the end times. You know, the rapture may occur before I get through filming this. It may be another 500 years. But I'm just talking about the mindset is obviously there. And we wonder, how can we live in these days? There is one source of help, and that is, in fact, our Lord. We need to take refuge in Him. You know, as we face every day, as we listen to the news, as we witness things taking place around us, as we interact with people who, you know, in some ways are like a little cush, how we need to place our faith and our trust in God and take refuge in Him. He alone is our source of strength and security. But secondly, we also need to know that God sees. Think again, verses 3 through 5. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there's injustice in my hands, if I've rewarded evil to my friend, or have plundered him without cause as my adversary, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it. Let him trample my life down to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. David in these verses is not claiming sinless perfection. But what he's saying is, God, I didn't cause this, and I know you know that I did not cause this. God, you know the situation. David knew that God saw and knew what was taking place. God saw what was happening. God sees what's happening today, whether you're talking about the world situation, whether you're talking about the situation within our nation, or whether you're talking about the circumstances in your own life. God sees it all. There is nothing that is hidden from Him. You know, with God, you know, sometimes people, and they talk to some, usually with a press a person, a member of the press, you know, this is off the record. There's never anything off the record with God. We, you know, it's obvious when we look at events that we, you know, that there's obviously been backroom deals struck that nobody will ever know what's going on. Oh, God does. We see all kinds of alliances, and we wonder who the hidden friends and workers are. God knows. He sees it all. God sees every detail of every single problem and circumstance, whether, again, we're talking about in the world or your own life. We need to remember that God sees it all. Nothing is hidden from Him. David knew, God, you know that I did not cause this. You know the reality. God, you see it. But then not only do we need to know that God sees, but then number three, we also need to trust God's involvement. You know, once more, we come to this theme that you see throughout God's Word, and particularly see in the book of Psalms, that reminder of the fact that God is always at work. You know, just because we don't see Him with our physical eyes does not mean that God is not at work. In fact, God is always working. We just can't see it or comprehend it, understand it, or many times we don't like it. But God is, in fact, always at work. Very first part of verse 8, the Lord judges the peoples. David knew that God was at work. God is at work right now. You think about that verse, we know it so well. We know that God called in Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for the good of them that love God, to those called according to His purpose. Right now, in every circumstance that we face, whether we're talking about the evil, wicked, vile corruption that is attempting to destroy our nation, or whether we're talking about the even the most minute elements within our life, God is in fact at work in the world, in the nation, in fact, in our lives. We can trust Him. But not only can we trust the fact that God sees and God's involved, but also, number four, we can rest in God's righteousness. God, yes, is always at work, and He's always at work righteously, and always working to bring about His righteous end. Verse 11, God is a righteous judge, and a God who has indignation every day. God is always bringing it to His righteous end. God will judge in His time and in His way. Whether you're talking about the world, those who are deliberately seeking to destroy our wonderful nation, whether you're talking about, you know, some cush you may have in your life, some evil, wicked person, or just the problems and circumstances and adversities, God is always at work in His perfect justice, even when we don't see it with our physical eyes. We've quoted Him before, but no one probably ever said it better than Matthew Henry, the great British pastor and commentator and writer of commentaries. You may even have a set of his commentaries. If you don't, they are a wonderful blessing, very wordy, but there's so much wonderful truth there. But Matthew Henry made the observation, and he based it on a grist mill, which I hope that you've seen or can at least follow the picture on. But Matthew Henry said that God's justice, the wheels of God's justice may grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. We may not see God's justice at work right now, but it's at work, and it'll work to his perfect end. And more times than not, the longer the wait until God's justice is revealed, manifested, usually the more severe and more thorough. We need to rest in God's righteousness. God will deal with these circumstances. The world, these evil, corrupt people who are destroying our nation, those within office and those behind them, they're those who influence and control them, God will deal with them. We can rest in his righteousness. You know, no wonder, in spite of someone like Cush, David was able to say in the 17th verse, I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. In spite of Cush. Why? Because David knew who God was and what God was doing, what God will do, and how we need to remember that. Like David, in a world full of individuals like this Cush, we can, in fact, give thanks unto God. He sees, he's working, he is, in fact, righteous, and he is, in fact, our refuge. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, you are the living, great, and good God. And Father, we can rest in you, trust you, know that you'll work righteous. Father, take our refuge in you. Father, help us this day to walk with you and to know your protection, your love, your guidance, your comfort, your strength, and oh God, yes, your joy. Even in these times, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you go through this day that you do go through it in fellowship of the Lord, resting in him. And in spite of whatever you may see taking place around you, let your eyes be focused upon the Lord, fixed on him. He will carry, he will guide, he will strengthen, he'll comfort. He'll even give you his joy if you let him. And I hope that as you walk with him, that you truly do have a great day in the Lord.